This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
Out of the 28 million, 8.6 million new displacements were caused by conflict and violence across the world, and 19.2 million new displacements were caused by sudden onset disasters linked to natural hazards like floods, storms, and earthquakes.
That's Alexandra Balak of the Internal Displacement Monitoring Center announcing the displacement figures for 2015. We'll have details on this story coming up. Also, Italy remains the prime destination for migrants and refugees this year, and the flow from North Africa is expected to increase soon. While the EU says it's prepared to begin negotiations with Nigeria to return about 22,000 nationals, and a car bomb rips through a market in a Shiite area of North Baghdad today, killing at least 64 people. We'll have these stories and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, a record number of men, women, and children fled their homes last year to escape violence and natural disasters. The Internal Displacement Monitoring Center has released its annual report. It says more than 28 million people abandoned their homes in 2015. That's twice the number of refugees who fled across national borders. Alexandra Balak is the project's director and an author of the report. From London, she's talked with VOA's David Arnold about the many causes of displacement in the world.
Out of the 28 million, 8.6 million new displacements were caused by conflict and violence across the world, and 19.2 million new displacements were caused by sudden onset disasters linked to natural hazards like floods, storms, and earthquakes.
Most of the causes for this displacement are actually acts of nature, is that right?
Yes, well, we don't refer to them as acts of nature because they're very rarely purely natural. They're actually exacerbated by human, man-made factors. But it's correct that the majority of new displacement was caused by disasters rather than conflict in 2015.
The report also indicates that there are millions more displaced who are invisible. With such large numbers unrecorded, how is that possible?
This is due to the fact that not all situations of internal displacement are under the spotlight, the media spotlight, or even benefit from humanitarian presence in country. So where there is no humanitarian presence or where there's no media, these situations tend to go unreported and there's very little data that's available about them. That's the case for internal displacement due to criminal and gang violence, internal displacement that's caused by slow onset hazards like droughts, but also internal displacement caused by public and private development projects for which there's also no compiled global data.
Yes, it sounds like there's a new category based on development efforts of governments of some countries.
It's not only governments, it's also private companies, but it's true that it's not necessarily a new category. It's a phenomenon that's been ongoing for decades, but it's a new form of displacement that we are just beginning to start monitoring.
When you talk about the responsibility for all of these internally displaced populations, how well are they cared for and who's responsible for that?
Governments have primary responsibility for IDPs because we're talking about people who are displaced within their own country, so they are citizens of their country, so they fall under the jurisdiction of their state. But of course, that responsibility is fulfilled inconsistently. If you look at the context in Syria, for example, where the government is partly responsible for the internal displacement, it makes it hard to say that governments are actually taking their responsibility even though they should be.
If we could turn to Africa for a minute, what are some of the largest displaced populations on that continent?
DRC is one of the countries we've reported on as having the largest IDP populations over the last few years, along with Sudan and South Sudan. So Africa this year have reached 12 million, but that figure is actually, it's quite similar to previous years. The total number of IDPs in Africa has actually flatlined over the last few years, which largely reflects the chronic and protracted nature of displacement there.
Is it primarily acts of nature or is it violence?
The 12 million that we report on for Africa today have been displaced primarily by conflict. Actually, what we're seeing is that many of the countries that are affected by conflict-related displacement are also at the same time affected by disasters. That's the case, for example, in South Sudan, where you have people who are displaced by conflict who then become displaced a second or a third time by landslides or floods.
Can you tell me a little bit about Nigeria, which has a high number of displaced persons due to the six-year insurgency of Boko Haram, and the fact that there are reports that most of these displaced are not in camps but living with other Nigerians? How is this internally displaced population being managed by the Nigerian government?
Well, that's the whole issue, that there are very few contexts in which there is camp infrastructure for IDPs. A number of IDPs, not to say the majority, actually live with host families or in rented accommodation in urban centers. And Nigeria is no exception there. So the majority of people who are displaced, you know, in, even if they're displaced in rural areas, they're usually living with neighbors or families, and they are receiving very little assistance from the government. People displaced by disasters tend to be generally better assisted, simply because disaster-related displacement is less politically sensitive than conflict-related displacement. But generally, there are huge protection needs across the board, including in Nigeria.
I'm wondering if publication of this report will help in any way to resolve some of these problems.
The main audience for this report are global policymakers and decision makers, and our objective in publishing this report is to bring attention to the scope of this phenomenon and to make the case that internal displacement needs to be addressed as a development issue and as a political issue. Certainly, I think that it will serve to ring the alarm bells.
That was Alexandra Balak in London talking to David Arnold in Washington, D.C. Italy remains the prime destination for migrants and refugees this year, and the flow from North Africa is expected to increase soon. But while the numbers grow, European countries are still slow in relocating them. Reporter Antonella Sferrazza is following developments. From Palermo, Sicily, she spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua about the migrants and refugees crossing the Mediterranean.
Thousands of migrants have risked their lives in rough seas in the last week as they try to reach Italy from Libya. And in fact, an estimated 113 people died in four shipwrecks between Libya and Italy in the past weekend. Figures say that in all, 1,357 migrants and refugees perished at sea during the first 4 months of the year. But as always, we should keep in mind that these figures are uncertain, that migrants' exact death toll will never be clear. Nobody knows how many people drown every day. So the latest arrivals take the total number of refugees or other migrants landed at Italian port since January to above 30,000, slightly above the total at this time last year. But according to Interior Minister officials, a massive migrant wave is expected in a few days, in mid-May, as the weather and the sea condition will improve. They whisper also that at least 200,000 people will try to cross the Mediterranean with the aim to reach Italy this year. Italy is thus very concerned about a migrant surge and is pressing once again for the start of the broad NATO mission off the coast of Libya in July.
So, Antonella, you have all these migrants and refugees arriving in Italy. Are they being relocated?
Not at all. The reception centers in Italy are overcrowded. There are 100,000 people waiting to be relocated, but the European relocation plan is not working at all. Only 581 migrants have been relocated since September. According to Brussels, it to be 39,000 in 2 years, but in 6 months, it only 581 migrants have been relocated. The European Union announced a plan to deal with a flood of asylum seekers, requiring member states to accept them under a quota system or face kinds. But obviously, most of the European countries are rejecting this proposal.
Now, are any of the migrants able to get jobs? I know if they say they are economic migrants, they are sent back home. But are any of them trying to find work?
Well, if they are irregular migrants, they cannot look for a job. And in fact, there is concern over the migrants who are rejected, because when they are classified as economic migrants, they receive a document notifying their rejection. They should leave, in theory, the country in a week, but they don't. The reality is that they just disappear. Humanitarian organizations fear that at the end of the year, these invisible migrants will be at least 40,000. Many of them will end up being exploited by illegal gang masters in agricultural sector, with some migrants accepting as little as 15 euros a day, and they have no rights, and they are subjected to very long work, so they actually are only exploited. At the same time, the fear of massive number of people living in clandestinity increases also concern on a public order issue. This is why the Italian Bishop Conference addressed an appeal to the Italian government, because it creates the possibility of a humanitarian residence permit for migrants in extraordinary reception centers, meaning all the migrants who have no status of refugees. Approximately 500,000 migrant workers with irregular immigration are estimated to be in Italy, and they are all exploited in agriculture.
That's reporter Antonella Sferraza from Palermo. She spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua. Well, in other migrant news, the EU says it's prepared to begin negotiations with Nigeria to return about 22,000 nationals who crossed the Mediterranean to Europe last year. The EU says it offers asylum only to those fleeing conflict or violence. Meanwhile, in Greece, the government says it plans to open 4 more reception centers for migrants and refugees in Thessaloniki. It's the latest attempt to evacuate the overcrowded makeshift camp in Idomeni on the border with Macedonia. It's about 80 kilometers north of Thessaloniki. About 10,000 people are in the camp. DRC today, police used tear gas and stun guns on thousands of supporters of leading opposition leader Moise Katumbi. The French press agency says they stormed into the courthouse where he was due to appear on charges of hiring foreign mercenaries. Katumbi is the former governor of Katanga province. He denies the charges, but he says he did hire personal guards after state authorities stopped providing him with security. The U.S. Embassy says it's concerned about the accusations against Katumbi, but it also says the DRC government has arrested an American working in Katanga as a security advisor, adding that the man is not a mercenary. Human Rights Watch says Katumbi's arrest is part of a crackdown against activists who are calling for a presidential election this year. A car bomb ripped through a market in a Shiite area of North Baghdad today, killing at least 64 people. The explosion struck the Sadr City market during the morning rush. Hospital and security officials say the death toll could continue to rise. At least 40 people were wounded in the attack. Nearby buildings were heavily damaged. Islamic State quickly claimed responsibility after the attack. The Sunni group has carried out many similar attacks in Baghdad, particularly in mostly Shiite areas. Islamic State said the attack was carried out by a suicide bomber, but Iraqi officials denied that. You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Italy remains the prime destination for migrants and refugees this year, and the flow from North Africa is expected to increase soon. While the EU says it's prepared to begin negotiations with Nigeria to return about 22,000 Nigerian nationals who crossed the Mediterranean to Europe last year, and police in the DRC used tear gas and stun guns today on thousands of supporters of leading opposition leader Moise Katumbi. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Some recent rains have done little to alleviate the severe impact of drought in parts of Puntland and Somaliland. Peter de Klerk, the UN humanitarian coordinator for Somalia, says he is deeply concerned about the devastating effects of the drought on families. In some areas, up to 80% of herds have been lost. About 385,000 people in Puntland and Somaliland face acute food insecurity. 1.3 million are at risk of acute food security without assistance. Overall, 37% of the two regions' 4.6 million people need some type of humanitarian aid. The current GOO rains have brought an end to the drought in some areas, but aid officials say if the rains end early, the situation could deteriorate quickly. Nigeria is vowing to crack down on nomadic cattle herders blamed for a series of bloody attacks across the central and southeastern part of the country this year. VOA's Chris Stein traveled to the scene of one recent attack in the village of Nimbo and reports.
Nomadic Fulani herders and their cattle are a common sight across Nigeria. But are they the country's next great security threat? Protesters took to the streets of the southeastern state capital of Enugu last week, chanting the Fulanis are killing us and calling for a boycott of beef. They were marching just days after an unidentified band of herdsmen attacked the nearby village of Nimbo. Police say 15 people were killed. Patrick Eze survived the attack with machete wounds all over his body. He said the herdsmen had been terrorizing the villagers for years, forcing them off their farmland.
There have been 20 people in the village. They have been raping me.
Villagers say it all started 6 years ago after herdsmen shot a well-liked hunter from the village after he caught a cow in one of his traps. Nimbo residents say they went to the police and local government as the feud with the herdsmen raged, to no avail. An Enugu State Police spokesman said the agency has no record of being contacted by the community, but is investigating the incident. Gidadu Siddiqui, the regional chairman of a cattle breeders association in southeast Nigeria, says herders are also victims.
Before the attack, I know that there are so many cases of killings and destroying cows at that area, but all that cases were reported to the police.
Another Fulani leader told VOA 16 herdsmen have been killed in the southeast this year. Both sides acknowledge it is a two-way street. Former local government councillor Kingsley Ezeugwu bears deep gashes on his head and back from being attacked with a machete as he fled Nimbo.
Our people used to go, they fight together. You understand? They kill our people and our people kill them.
In theory, herdsmen and farmers play complementary roles. Herdsmen can graze on crop remnants, while their cows can manure fallow fields. But that symbiosis is breaking down. Some disputes are motivated by religion, others by banditry. Some occur when farmers plant on traditional grazing routes or when livestock accidentally trample crops. Researchers who study the conflicts say farmers and herders do get along for the most part in Nigeria. However, experts say conflicts may intensify and grow more frequent as Nigeria's population grows and desertification pushes more migrant herders further south. The Nimbo attack sparked public outrage. President Muhammadu Buhari vowed to take action against what he described as the rampaging herdsmen. Political commentator Chris Ngwodo says the clashes this year aren't as bloody as those that occurred in the past, but the political context has changed. Buhari is himself a Fulani who owns cows.
This terrible coincidence of identity really just puts him in a vulnerable position. The fact that he did not react as hastily as would have been ideal did not help him either.
Ngwodo was referring to Buhari's decision not to visit the central Nigerian town of Agatu, where an attack in February blamed on nomadic herders killed as many as 300 people, according to local press. Major newspapers in Nigeria reported that the attack on Nimbo killed at least 40 people, but when VOA visited the village, police said 15 had been killed. It is still unclear what sparked the dawn raid. Villagers told VOA they had received a letter threatening bloodshed. One survivor said the attackers falsely accused Nimbo of harboring the murder of a herdsman. Local herdsman leaders say they don't know who was behind the attack, but they suspect the culprits were herders passing through from another state. Police have opened an investigation. Chris Stein for VOA News, Nimbo, Nigeria.
Thank you, Chris. In related news, the Lagos Punch Online reports that a Nigerian government official says that some of the attacks blamed on Fulani herdsmen are actually the work of gunmen from other countries. The Minister of State Agriculture told a public hearing that some of those arrested did not speak any Nigerian languages. He described them as a gang of Boko Haram insurgents from other countries bordering Nigeria. Rights group Amnesty International reports that several children have died this year in detention at a military barracks in northeastern Nigeria. It is the latest in a series of accusations made by Amnesty against the Nigerian military. The Nigerian government denies the allegations and says it is succeeding in its fight against the Islamist extremist group Boko Haram. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Amnesty International says 11 children under the age of 6, including 4 babies, have died in military detention at the Giwa military barracks in Maiduguri, northeast Nigeria. Their evidence is based on several interviews with former detainees at the Giwa barracks, supported by videos and photos. Amnesty's legal advisor, Solomon Sacco.
They have seen the dead children being removed from the overcrowded cells. They have seen and been subjected to the ill treatment that has led and contributed to these a large number of deaths.
That treatment includes lack of food and water, extremely poor hygiene, and little medical treatment.
Almost 150 people have died in detention this year. Most of those are men held in the worst conditions, where people lie next to each other with absolutely unable to turn around because they are packed in like sardines. One of our witnesses talks about the conditions as being living in a toilet.
Amnesty says around 1,200 people are currently detained at the barracks, at least 120 of them children. Many of them were rounded up during mass arrests and held without trial. The Nigerian government has refuted the accusations. Military spokesman Rabi Abubakar told VOA in a phone call that Amnesty had been given access to the Giwa barracks and its recommendations had been implemented.
We improved our facilities. We improved our feeding. We improved our welfare package for these detainees. This terrorism war is global. And I believe the international community has seen what efforts Nigeria is making in ensuring that the issue of Boko Haram and any other allied terrorist activities have been wiped out from our country.
Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari is in Britain for a Thursday anti-corruption summit. Amnesty is asking other world leaders to pressure Nigeria on human rights. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Then tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Nick Ivanoff, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. we'll discuss politics in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests discussing politics in DRC. That's next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.